Good morning. We have some seats over here in section A23, right over here. If you don't have a seat, H. Lee just came in, and Pam, I see. If you folks want to move up in the from the back and get over in here, that'll be fine. The lady auxiliary. There she is. All right, we're so glad you're here. Hope you had a happy Thanksgiving. Everybody did but the turkeys. I want to give these folks who sang a hand. Would you please clap for them? Susan Trexler, only blue-eyed rhythm and blues queen. Love you anyway. All right. That's what my wife tells me. I love you anyway. I never ever figured out what the anyway was. See? On your way out, on the right up there, your Bob will put it out in the middle, a little platform, and you'll see the envelopes. They have people's names on them. Paul Taylor, this is to help little Ben. Ben has leukemia, and we visited with Paul and his wife, and Ben had his last chemotherapy treatment last week, so that was good. And, he's glad to get over that. Then we have Carolina Canines. That's to help for the lead dog that's going to Bradley. It'll take a couple of years to train him, but help these people. They help the blind folks, handicapped folks. They give these dogs away. It's a ministry out of Wilmington, and he's going to give little Bradley one. This is the Wise family, and that's little Bradley and Frankie on the front. And this is to help them, and Sylvia said y'all have helped them so much. They're so grateful for that. Ann put together a NASCAR thing back there for the payments for the van. We got the bill for the van, but we don't have a payment book. That's my kind of bank. George Sloan knows how to pick a bank, and they hadn't sent a payment book yet. And if they won't, I'm not going to ask. But she's got it where she can move the little van along, and you can see the progress we're making. Thanks to you who have already done something on that. If you want to make a monthly payment, it's about $150, and we don't expect everybody to do that. For those who can, though, in that little gold box, if you want to help pay for the van, please do that, and we'll see that it goes to BB&T. If you write a check, make it to BB&T. That's all you have to put on it, and we will get that taken care of, and we appreciate that. What you got, honey? What it is? You got that right there? $332? All right, good. Thank you. That's good. Thank you for that. So if you want to do that, and people wonder, they say, y'all don't take a collection. It's because we've threatened most of you before time. But for those who don't know, what we do, my briefcase will be right at the back there. Bob will have it. He's the guardian of the briefcase. And if you want to help us with our ministry, you feel free to. We don't demand that you do, or I never ask you for anything for myself. But if you want to help us, please do. We appreciate it, and that's how we stay alive. And we thank you for that. Dynamite gave us 100 more chairs. Give him a hand for that. That's good. And 50 of them are out here somewhere. You'll have to find them. And the other 50 are there for latecomers. Yes, Linda. Bringing you a coffee bottle. All right. Good. Got the chair. The chairman is working. All right. Don't forget Ann's announcements. Don't forget Larry has tapes and CDs of weekly sermons. And Larry's over here at the table. Yeah.
I wanted to mention that those folks who wanted to buy presents for Ben and Abby this year, we'd like to take all the presents that y'all would like to give us and take them to the hospitals in Charleston where some folks really, really would appreciate them.
Yeah, that's good, Paul. So, thank you for that. You hear what he said now? Every year we give Ben and his kids something. And he said, just bring a toy, and he'll take it to the little kids with cancer that they see when they go down and take Ben for his treatments, and a lot of them don't have any money. And he'll deliver the toys, be a skinny Santa Claus, but at least he's got a beard. Okay. All right, we appreciate that. So don't forget, Larry has CDs and tapes of what we do here weekly. And if you're not going to pick them up, he's going to quit making them. Some of you take 20, I know, and several take, one lady, Susie, sends 20 out a week. Others take some for your own use and other people's. But make sure you use his services. He does this as a ministry, but it's no use for him to keep printing them up if you're not going to take them. All right, pray for my son Scott. Went to the emergency room again last night, been sick 2 or 3 days. We don't know what's wrong with him. Just keeps throwing up. Well, he's all right this morning, though, right? Yes, wavy this morning? Okay. Just pray for him. Pray for Janice West. She's a friend of our ministry, a friend of Bobby Wilson's. Janice was taken to the hospital, and we almost lost her yesterday in Florence. And they weren't going to move her, said she couldn't be moved, but a lot of prayers went forth, and she was moved to Grand Strand, and I'll visit her today. It looks like she's going to make it. We hope so. Double pneumonia, congestive heart failure. Mentioned the Wise family chart. That's the chart you made with the race cars on it. Yeah. We're getting copies made of the bulletin. I think I need to give that to you. Don't I, Susie, need to give that to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, the school system has volunteered to copy those during their vacation when nobody's there. Oh, yeah, hey. We're talking about Sue. She gets things done, doesn't she? Telling you the truth. How wonderful it is to see you today. Today is at the eating meeting. After we get through, we're going to eat on the grounds. Looks like everybody brought a lot of food. And if you brought some, eat some. If you didn't, eat some anyway. And take the leftovers with you. And we're going to just enjoy fellowship with one another. Make yourself at home. We're a little bit different. We have a lot of fun here. And we hope you do. We hope this is the funnest place that you come on the beach. It ought to be. The church is not something you threaten people with. Pastor Spurgeon in England, he said Sunday school ought to be so much fun that you could threaten your kids with it during the week. That if you don't act right, you're not going to go to Sunday school. And we've turned it around to where I'm going to beat you if you don't go. And a lot of churches are that way. You know, a lot of y'all quit going. I quit going. I started preaching again in self-defense, largely. And I said, you sit still, I'll preach. You give me an offering, we'll just do it ourselves, honey. And 4 more came, and then 200 came. So we're glad of that. And a lot of you are that way, and I hope you're learning here. We pray that we can minister to you in the correct way. If you have questions, ask them. I don't know everything, but I know some things. And if you have prayers that need to be made, there's a prayer box back there. You fill it out. Understand that I take those, and Peggy takes those names, and others of you who want them are welcome to take the names and the prayer requests. We'll give them to you. And every day, between now and next Sunday, whatever's on that card, I'll pray for. And I'm sure Peggy does every day. And you put it there because we know prayer works. So please do that. Thank you for being here. We're starting the Christmas season. I heard my first Christmas carol last night. I said, they'll get underway. And that's good. We're glad that they do that. We're glad for the Christmas and the Thanksgiving season. This morning, if you brought a Bible, turn to Luke 17:11. Luke 17:11 is a familiar story in Scripture. It's the un-Thanksgiving day. You didn't know there was an un-Thanksgiving day, did you? It's Thanksgiving Day, and then there's un-Thanksgiving Day. And this is about un-Thanksgiving Day, and we'll pray, and then we shall expound the Scriptures. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can assemble together in your name and your presence with your people, and we thank you that above all, you have come to seek and to save the lost, and that was some of us, and now we're saved. It is some of us, and those we're preaching the gospel to, that one day they will be, and we pray that as our main prayer, for that's the reason for our existence. To live and move and have our being in you, to spread the gospel, to teach people there is a God of love and a God who saves, and his name is Jesus. And we hope to spread that message, and if I don't do it well, will the Holy Spirit of God please do it for me. Remove me from this place that you be heard. Anything I say that should be forgotten, let it be. Anything that should be remembered, please let it be. That someone may leave here a new creature in Christ this morning. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. And for his sake, amen. This is the story of 10 lepers. It said, and it came to pass as he, meaning Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Understand, the Jews didn't have much to do with the Samaritans. They didn't even speak And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, who stood afar off. And lepers, of course, the leprosy was the disease of the day that you couldn't get near anybody. A leper was an outcast. A leper had to leave his family, city, village, had to leave his job. He was cast out to live in the caves. He had sores about him. Fingers would fall off, noses would fall off, ears would fall off. And leprosy was highly contagious, and they were required to stay away from people. And they were required, if they came near people, to wear a bell, much like we put on a cow in a pasture, so that bell would ring. And they had to yell, "Unclean, unclean," so people wouldn't pass their way and pick up the leprosy. So here these 10 men were lepers who stood afar off and obviously had said, "Stand back, we're lepers, don't come any closer." And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And tells us two things. They recognized Jesus. They had either heard about him or seen him, so they recognized who he was. And they called him Master. Obviously, they had become believers. Somebody had gotten to them through the message, or they had seen the healings, or they had heard of it, and they had trusted in him, for they addressed him as Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. This is one of the shortest prayers in the Bible. That's all they said. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. There was a preacher preaching on prayer one day, and they were discussing the way of position of prayer, and some people wanted to say, well, you always should be kneeling in prayer for the humility of it and the reverence of it. And others said, no, I just get so caught up, I just stretch out on the floor. I just lay down. You know people who have done that, I'm sure. I had a friend at Bob Jones University who was a professor and loved the Lord Jesus. Every time he prayed at home, when he was going to have his prayers, he'd take a bath, put on a suit and a tie, shine his shoes, go into the den by himself, and kneel down at his desk and pray. He said, I'm dressing because I'm about to address the King of the Universe. And that was all right, not necessary, but it's all right. And others were saying they prayed different ways while they were driving or whatever. And it was an old-fashioned church before air-conditioned. The window was open, and a guy was working on a telephone pole. He yelled in the window, said, hey, preacher. I said, yeah, he said, I've done some of my best praying hanging upside down from one of these poles. And you would do some praying that way, wouldn't you? And this is what these fellas did. They just knew they were in trouble. It didn't need a long discussion. They were lepers. They needed help. They needed mercy. And they found he who would give it. And they just said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. Meaning, as soon as they turned around and walked, they were cleansed as he said it. He didn't wait till they got to the priest. They were going to show the priest they had been saved, been healed. It just says, as they went, just as soon as they turned around, and one looked down at his hand, obviously, because when you have leprosy, your skin turns stark white, and they know you have that, and sometimes the fingers are missing. I don't know what his case was, but something of that nature took place because he saw it wasn't that way anymore. He saw that he was healed and no doubt felt his whole body, and then looked at the others and got excited and said, we're healed. Look at us, fellas. We're all right. One of them did. And turned back with a loud voice and glorified God, ran back to Jesus and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan, people who didn't speak to Jews. And Jesus answered and said, weren't there 10 of you guys? Where are the other 9? They're not found that return to give glory to God except this stranger. In our language, he says, what's up? Wasn't it 10 of you? Where are the other 9? You mean we heal 10 people of the worst disease they could have and one bothers to come back and say thank you? And he said unto him, arise and go your way. Thy faith has made you well. So this was on Thanksgiving Day. This was a day when 10 people were cured of the most horrendous disease you could have, certain death to come, certain pain on the way, outcast from society. It's everything bad that could happen to you. When you had leprosy, that was the end of the line. That's it. No cure, no hope, no happiness, no family, no friends, no job. Nobody but the other lepers would have anything to do with you. And 10 of them were healed of this dreaded disease, and one turned and came back and said thank you. And that might shock you if you didn't know our society. Doesn't shock me at all. 9 out of 10 people just aren't thankful. Don't regard the goodness of God. Don't bother to look into it. And don't know when to say thank you. I used to hire salesmen and train them. And before I made a man a manager, I'd always take him to dinner. Take him out and buy him a steak, him and his wife. And he's going to tell me what all he was going to do and how excited he was. And that's all well and good. I already knew that. He was going to do what I told him to do, what he was going to do. What I trained him to do, that's what he was going to do. The only reason I took him out to eat was when we got through, I wanted to see if he said thank you or not. And if he failed to thank me for that meal, he wondered forever why he wasn't made a manager. If he didn't appreciate somebody feeding him enough to say thank you, he wouldn't appreciate anybody buying from him. He wouldn't appreciate what we were doing, and he wouldn't teach his salesman to be appreciative when somebody was kind enough to buy their product, and then they'd recommend it to others if they thanked them. If you can't be thankful, how much does it cost to be thankful, just to say thank you? Doesn't cost much. The lame man at the pool with Jesus healed, he got up, told the Jews. He knew when he told them, Jesus healed them, and I love him for it, that he would be kicked out of the synagogue, and that was welfare program, that was society, that was everything. And he knew full well if he said that Jesus did this, and he did it anyway. He was thankful enough to thank the Lord and lose it all. And the woman with an infirmity came to Jesus, and he loosed her and healed her, and the Bible says she glorified God and said, thank you. And 9 out of 10 men didn't bother. And the Bible says to be thankful in all things, and we know to do that, but it says some specific things to be thankful for that I want to teach you this morning. And you'll be so thankful for them, and you can jot them down in your memory and in your head, and you'll remember to be thankful for these things, and it will really give you the spirit of thanksgiving and the spirit of giving thanks when you hear what the scripture has to say about it. In Philippians 4:6, the Bible says to be anxious, to be worried for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And I love that verse of scripture. I even have it framed at my house and put it where I can see it every day. Because we all tend to backslide and get a little worried now and then and think maybe it all depends on us. And he said, don't worry for anything, no matter how bad it is. Don't worry. But in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. And that bothered me. I said, what is the with thanksgiving for? I haven't got it yet. Am I supposed to thanks before I get it? There's some who teach that if you thank God and act as if it was so, it will come to pass. What they don't know is that puts you in God's position, and you made it come to pass, and that's not so. 9 of them got healed, and they weren't thankful. Healed them anyway. And he said, with thanksgiving, and I finally figured it out late last night, that he's saying, look, give thanks that you have somebody to pray to. Give thanks that you have a mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, and only one, scripture says, there is but one mediator. If you pray into anybody other than through Jesus, it isn't getting past the ceiling, and the roofer can't help you if he hears it. So forget your idols and your saints and your people and all that. Don't pray to Mother Teresa. She's dead. Don't pray to Saint anybody. He's dead. He can't hear you. The only one who has the omniscience, the omnipotence, and the omnipresence to hear every prayer of every man is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying here, you give thanksgiving that you found him. That you have somebody who can answer your prayer. that you have somebody who is all powerful and will answer your prayer. And that's what you give thanksgiving for. Because you'll find as you pray through the years and have back through the years, there's a lot of things you prayed for that had you gotten and had it your way, you'd have really hated it now. Have you gone back and looked at your high school annual? At that honey you wanted to marry. And saw her at the last reunion. And said, thank you, Jesus. Some of you ladies have done that too. See. So it's good to know, isn't it? He says in John 11:41, thank God for answered prayer. The illustration is given, Jesus thanks the Father for always hearing his prayers. And there's a preacher on late like TV, I used to like to listen to him because it was so funny, from the church on Chicken Foot Road in Fayetteville. The Indian dude, you've seen him, I'm sure. And bless his heart. And he would get on there and say, well, send your little cards and that. Don't get no cards. Send the envelopes, please. And a prayer request. And he'd say, because God, I have never prayed a prayer that God has not heard. And he was doing that to encourage people to think maybe he had some special end. Son, if you're a Christian, nobody's ever prayed a prayer that God hadn't heard. You have to understand that sometimes no is an answer. And sometimes yes is an answer. And a lot of times, hold on, I've got something better is an answer. But you pray the prayer, and he'll do what he will with it. Because sometimes we make the mistake. Here, Jesus was thanking the Father in front of the Jews when he raised Lazarus. Because he wanted them to understand who he was and who the Father was. And that he was the Messiah, and by even asking for the dead to be raised, that his Father would hear that and would answer that. And by the way, that is the only recorded miracle in the scripture that the Jews did not contest. They contested the rest of them. But when it came to Lazarus, he was getting a little tired, and he said, no, I won't be. I'll be there the day after tomorrow. He knew the Jews believed your soul hung around your body for 3 days. And if it had gone before 3 days, they'd have said, well, that's nothing. His soul just came back in. So he said, I'll just wait a while. I'll be there Thursday. He went on the fourth day. He said, all right, go get the rabbi. Go get the rest of them. Get them out here. Tell them we're going to the graveyard. Went to the graveyard. And then he prayed. Said, Father, hear me. Lazarus, come forth. He came. It should have shut him up forever, but it didn't. You see, 2 weeks ago, Allah was going to kill America, as I heard it. Don't think so. Well, this morning, they gave that up because they had no God to pray to. They have no one who can answer prayer. And we were studying in Bible study the other night. If you don't come on Mondays, you need to. Up at Lee's Funeral Home, the little building outside there, 7 o'clock. And we have a good time and get in depth on studying some things. And we were laughing, and Susie was laughing with me. I said, Susie, it's like, honey, you can be as sincere as you want to about waiting on the bus outside this funeral home. You can wait in the morning. You can wait in the noon, you can wait in the evening, you can wait at midnight, and you can sincerely wait, have your stuff ready, know where you're going, be ready. But honey, the bus don't run by here. Sincere don't matter. And you can pray 5 times the east and bow to the east, west, north, and yo-yo, brickback, do anything you want to, eat, do hot dogs and burp, whatever you want to do to add to it. There's all kind of religions. But none of it matters if you aren't praying to the Lord Jesus Christ. Please understand that. There is one mediator between God and man. One. And that's the man Christ Jesus. So let your request be known to him. He'll always hear your prayer. Sonny, is Sonny here today? Raise your hand if you're here, Sonny. He didn't make it today. Sonny's son fell and hit his head in a bathtub. You remember we told you this summer. Put him in a coma. I went to Florence and saw him and slipped in the room. Nobody was there. Just by myself. And, and prayed with him and left my card. And it wasn't anything I did. Please don't think I'm taking credit for that. I prayed for him down the hall. He died next Tuesday. But Sonny's son, Father's Day, Sonny came in and said, "Beaver, look at this," and handed me a Father's Day card with a scribble, "I love you," and his son's name on it. He said he wrote this from his bed. He can move his arm now. "Keep praying, please." I said, "I will." And we kept praying, and he kept praying, and then he came to me two nights ago down at Fat Harold. Said, "Beaver," boy, I said, "come here a minute," just beaming. He said, "My boy got up Thanksgiving Day and walked into the kitchen and fixed him a plate of food and walked back." And he said, "Woo, amen." So we're to thank God for prayers that are answered. Many of you come up and leave requests, and we pray for them, and God handles them. But you thank God for answered prayer. My goodness, if you don't know the joy of that, I feel sorry for you. If you haven't had and been in a place in your life where you could absolutely do nothing and had to pray and did, and it got answered, and you knew that was the only thing, I feel sorry for you. My daddy used to scare me to death. He'd say, "Get in the car." I said, "Where we going?" He said, "Go eat supper." I said, "You ain't got no money." "I sure ain't got any." He said, "We're going to eat supper. Get in the car." I said, "Where are we going to get any money?" He said, "We're going by the post office." I said, "You already been down there?" He said, "No, we're going now to get the money." I'd go. It'd be there. If it was once, it'd be all right, but it was 100 times. 100 times. And the guy my mama used to work for in Toronto and in Chicago at Moody Bible Institute. Good old preacher of the gospel, and he was head of Moody Bible Institute. And he'd get invited to speak places, and it was during the Depression. And he'd say, "Muriel, if you would, put my Bible in my briefcase and get me ready to go. I've got to go a couple of 100 miles away." And she knew there wasn't any money. You had to have a ticket to ride the train. But she knew not to question him. And she would just fix the stuff. He'd take the briefcase. He'd see y'all 2 days from now. He'd go get in line at the railroad station. And there'd be a few people in front of him. And he'd just start marching toward the front. No ticket. No money. He's in line to get his ticket. She said every time somebody would come up and say, "Dr. Johnson, yeah, been meaning to drop by the school. Wanted to bring this." Boom. There was the ticket. And you said, "People live like that?" Yeah. Sure do. They sure do. My daddy said, "We live by faith, son." I said, I'm in. I didn't know what he meant till you showed up. I used to always depend on me. I can knock on your door and sell you whatever's in the briefcase. And I depended on that. And then I said, "Well, I need to try it God's way." And you showed up. All of a sudden, cars come out of nowhere. Butch said, "Here, let me give you a new car." Somebody comes by with money for clothes. Somebody sends a check and says, "I want you to use that for yourself only." I don't, but I tell them I will. And I said, "Well, these folks are an answer to prayer, aren't they? Thank you, Jesus." And in Ephesians 1:15, Paul says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." And I read that a long time ago. And I do that for you. I make mention of you in my prayers. Some by name, some by face. Sometimes it's, "Lord, you know it's the lady with the red dress on." He knows. But I make mention of you in my prayers. I've never had a group of people to care for me like you do. Didn't know what that meant. Oh, I was always popular and funny and could dance and play football and do all those things, but never have I had a group of people who will come up and say, we love you. We care for you. Four or five in here said, don't you ever do without. We don't have all the money in the world. But whatever you need, pick up the telephone. I said, Lord, have mercy. Nobody does that. Called Linda. Said, Linda, find dynamite. We need some more chairs. She said, no use to call him there at the church. I said, what? Opened the door and there was 100 of them. And this shouting went on in here. I mean, I'm running up around here saying, Lord, thank you. Lord God, thank you. 100 more chairs. See? Isn't it wonderful to pray for fellow believers? That's why we got the prayer box. That's why when you see somebody in here who needs praying for, you pray for them. Pray, he said, pray for the fellow believers. But he also prayed for non-believers. Paul said, I will give my life and die and go to hell for my countrymen if they will only turn to the Lord Jesus. So he prayed for who? The lost and the found. Amen. Prayed for the lost and the found. Me and you. Isn't that good that he did that? Isn't it good that we can do that? I got friends sitting in here if die today that go straight to hell and they know it and I know it. And I pray for them every day. So Lord, let them listen. Let the light come on. Just pass by them and keep tugging on them. And I'm going to do my part and these other Christians are going to do their part. And we're going to reach some people in here. And some people are going to become new creatures in Christ Jesus because of the gospel we preach, not because I preach it. And it's already happened and will continue to happen. What greater thing can you do on this earth than be part of something like you are that takes a man from the gates of hell and puts him in the arms of Jesus in heaven? What greater thing can you do? On my stationery, I think we got four pieces now. Ann doesn't print much stationery. We got a little thing on there in the picture of me on there and under my picture, and I'd put it there 20, 25 years ago. It says the only eternal thing you can do for a man is lead that man to Christ. Give him a house, give him a car, give him $1 million. They can give him anything you want and do anything you want, but the only eternal thing you can do for somebody is lead that man to Christ. And the good news is all of us are in a position to do that. You bring them, I'll talk to them. You bring them, I'll preach to them. Say, I don't know the Bible. It's okay, I do. Say, well, I can't preach. I can. Well, I don't know how. I do. Bring them. You do your part, I'll do mine. And I promise you, people will leave here who are headed to hell and leave here for the arms of Jesus who created that beautiful ocean. Isn't it gorgeous? God, thank you. Isn't that wonderful? 2 Corinthians says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. People say, what is that? That's Jesus. Paul, remember we studied last week or two about the eternal weight of glory and said, I know what a ton is. I know what a metric ton is. I know what 100 billion, 1 million, 1 trillion metric tons are. But I don't know what an eternal weight is. And God said we're to receive an eternal weight of glory. I mean, you can't even weigh it. And Paul speaks of Jesus as the unspeakable gift. Because when it gets down to bottom line, who would stand up and say, I'll give you a full description of him? I'll tell you all about him. Who in the world could tell you all about him? Who in the world could give him the credit that he needs to be given? Who in the world would expect somebody to give you a gift and it's unspeakable? You just can't, I mean, I don't know what to say. Dynamite passed by a while ago. I said, good to see you. Thank you for the chairs. I mean, what else can I say? But thank you. That's so little, isn't it? What else can I say? And Jesus takes me from hell to heaven. Pays for all my sin, cast them in the depths of the bottom of the deepest sea, never to be seen again, doesn't hold me guilty. I'm not enforced with the penalty, and I'm to live with him. It's an unspeakable gift. And this Christmas time, and Christmas time in America has turned from a time to worship the Lord. He doesn't even make the parade anymore. Santa Claus took his place. And it's the time of year, and it's fine when the sparklies come out and the gifts, and Ann started buying the little gifts and wrapping them so pretty in the paper, and the paper's so beautiful now with the gold and silver, and oh, it's just lovely what they can do with printing. And I said, isn't this beautiful? But the best gift of all came wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The best gift ever given. And it was given to me. And it's been given to you. And he said, thank God for his unspeakable gift. And I do. We've turned Christmas into a time where you hurry out and get in the crowds to buy things people don't need. You buy people you don't like things they don't need with money you don't have. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But we all do that, don't we? We all do that. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, that's the church, the body of Christ, and be ye thankful. Be thankful that you're in the body of Christ. Be thankful that you're part of him. And be thankful for the peace of God that rules in your heart as being part of that. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus, you're going to be frustrated till you die. Then it gets worse. But when you know him, the strangest thing happens. It doesn't matter what your circumstance, there's a peace about you inside that says it's going to be all right. Doesn't matter what it is. I'm talking about children dying, husbands leaving, going broke, businesses failing, car wrecks, all the bit. Announcement, did you just have cancer? There's a peace inside of you that passes all understanding. And you don't have that if you don't have Jesus. And he said, it's going to be all right. Just thank me for the peace. And we do. 1 Thessalonians says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Continual thanks for this one. Because when ye receive the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. And we preach here the scriptures, if you've noticed. We preach here the word of God. My dad used to announce his radio program, and before he expounded the scriptures, he would say, from the inerrant, infallible, indestructible word of God. And I can hear that voice ringing in my ears night and day driving the car, and every time I pick up that book, I can hear it in the back of my mind saying, from the inerrant, infallible, indestructible word of God. And then he'd preach. And isn't it good to know when you receive that as such, it works effectively in you. Did you notice that means it doesn't work effectually in people that don't believe? A man who doesn't believe God and doesn't believe this is the word of God needn't expect anything from him. Needn't expect anything from him. He said, you believe my word, you believe the letter I wrote you. I named my son the word. We call Jesus the living word, the Bible, the written word. And he who doesn't believe the record of my son, I'll have nothing to do with. It's that important. The college professor who told you differently is a liar and a hypocrite and on the way to hell if he hadn't changed. I worry about college professors and theologians and preachers with high-sounding words and different philosophies who spend their life trying to find something wrong with scriptures. Something wrong with that. I'm not going to marry a lovely lady and then try to find out what all's wrong with her. I'm going to find out what's right with her. One of the fools on Oprah the other day, bless his heart, was giving some good information. Ooh, I don't know how he's lived this long without getting shot. He said, get with your wife every now and then and make a list of all the things you don't like about her and y'all discuss it. I mean, this has got to be the idiot of the world. Whoa, does he not know women get hysterical? And then they get historical? Tuesday, 3 o'clock, October 20th, 1969. You said. I mean, you don't do that. You don't do that. You find the good points and stay with them. And that's what we do with the scripture. And lastly, in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, you were looking for this verse, Susie, the other night. What you were looking for. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, meaning the resurrection, then shall be brought to pass the saying that's written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory? And I've been to many, many funerals and heard some well-meaning preacher, but misinformed, use that as a verse at a funeral with the family there. O death, where is thy sting? If you bother to look at them people, they're heartbroken, sir. There's the sting. If you bother to look, that family just lost their little baby. Death won this one. If you bother, that's that man's wife. He's going to leave out here. Now, he's heartbroken. Yeah, the sting isn't over. And the sting of death hits us and will continue to, and the grave will have its victory until the resurrection, it says. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That means when he died on the cross, death for the Christian was eliminated. It was over. And the physical death will still come, and you're going to be in a box somewhere if the Lord doesn't come soon. And we know that, and I will too. But you can't bury me. I'll be out of there because of Jesus. I'll be home, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And the Greek word there means simultaneously. No time in between. No time in between. Gone. Out of here. With him. My dad was found on the floor with his violin where he'd been playing it. And when he was found after he had a heart attack, and the record player was spinning. And my brother and I found out about this, and he'd often play hymns with a record, and then he'd play along with it, with his violin. And he could have been a concert violinist. He was that good at it, and he loved to hear him play. And my brother made a good observation. He said, "You see what I see?" And I said, "What?" He said he was playing a hymn. And instantaneously, he was with him. I said, "All right, go ahead. All right, go ahead." You see, the sting goes then. I had to preach the funeral, but there wasn't nobody in the box. Oh, there's a brown suit I'd bought him. There was a tie. Funeral home don't tell you, they take shoes away. It's all fake. He was out of there. He was gone. And that's what Jesus says to be thankful for. To be thankful that we know he has done away with death. If you don't know him this morning, ruler of heaven and earth, creator of all that you see, you don't know he who conquered death and resurrected himself, and by doing so was the first fruits, and said, "You put your faith in me and trust in me, and you shall never die." I said, "Boy, that's pretty good news. No wonder they call it the gospel. You shall never die. You shall live with me with all. So I go," John says, "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you can be there also." The great God of the universe wants fellowship with you. And with me forever. What a compliment to you. If you don't know him this morning, as we pray where you sit, we don't ask you to raise your hand or come to the front. For those who do, that's fine. We just say, where you are, if you don't know this Jesus, and you just call silently from your heart to him, say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner by choice. I need a Savior, and I believe with all my heart it's you. And I'd like to ask you to save me right now. And believe me, he'll make you a new creature in Christ and give you the peace that passeth all understanding. And you too can make every day Thanksgiving Day. Shall we pray? And gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for all you've done. What can we do to pay you back? Men have tried to build cathedrals and altars and wear robes and give crowns and start churches and denominations and do everything they can in an effort to pay you back. And they don't understand you didn't ask to be, that you were a gift. And you don't have to pay for a gift. You gave us eternal life freely. You gave us the gift unspeakable, the Lord Jesus, freely. And all you said was you don't have to work for it, you don't have to pay for it, you don't have to earn it. What can you do? What can you give me? All you have to do is confess your sin and ask me to save you, and I'll do so. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the depth and the simplicity of the gospel. Thank you for your everlasting love. Be with those here who need physical healing, who have financial problems, who have family problems. Be with them, Lord. Let them understand first, seek the kingdom of God, and then all those other things will be added to them. For you're a good God. Your love is abundant and free. Be with us as we eat dinner. Accept our thanks for the food now as the blessing. Bless the hands of those who prepared it. May we use it to the nourishment and health of our bodies, and our bodies to thy service. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his holy sake, amen.